Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature.
Hey, this is street artist Ruben Rojas, and you're listening to the Love Freak Podcast with Courtney Cole. If you're looking to create a life more grounded in love, continue to tune in each week and check out my new book, Live Through Love, available now at RubenRojas.com. Happy listening.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. I have a special little treat for you guys today. I am bringing you not one, but two brilliant people, Dwayne and Taya Harvey. Dwayne and Taya are both licensed marriage and family therapists and certified Imago relationship therapist, which we're going to chat about today. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what Imago therapy is, I'm going to let them do most of the explaining because they'll do a lot better job than me. But basically, in my own terms, based off of my experience with Imago, it's a form of couples therapy that allows you to enter into more of a more conscious relationship with your partner by acknowledging each other's early childhood wounds and attachment styles so that you can actually provide healing for each other and kind of gift each other with a more fulfilling experience of love based off of kind of what your partner truly needs and desires. So imagine how much deeper and richer our relationships could be, not just with our partners, but our family members and our friends. If we were consciously aware of and compassionate towards the wounds and experiences that have made us maybe respond in certain ways, imagine how much more we could show up for them in ways that they need and help provide them with the kind of love that brings them healing and assurance. And imagine how lovely that would feel to have that in return. So my amazing boyfriend, Mike, and I, we just completed a course in Imago therapy in order to deepen our relationship through the Harvey Center of Relationships, which was founded by Dwayne and Taya in Los Angeles. And it was so eye-opening and truly life-changing in more ways than one. So I'm so excited to have Dwayne and Taya here today. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Courtney, and thank you for including us.
Oh my gosh, it's truly such a treat. I am pretty new to understanding Imago. We found it through some friends, and then we found you guys, and Mike and I could not have been happier with the results that we got through the therapy that you guys offered us. And so I'm excited to share this with everyone out there listening. I did kind of a brief synopsis of my own of Imago, but would you guys kind of give your own and kind of say what it is and what a typical session kind of looks like? Because it's very different than regular, you know, quote unquote therapy.
Well, the first thing to understand about the idea of Imago relationship therapy is that you're going to fall in love with your worst nightmare. So to get used to the idea that it's going to be challenging, it's supposed to be challenging because we're only half baked and we're waiting for that or for our partner to start trying to stimulate or kickstart other parts of ourselves that have laid dormant or that were just lazy because they were not used. You can think of romantic relationships as the second stage of childhood. You know, we don't all get our needs met or get the maturity opportunities that we need in our first pass, 0 through 18, you might say, which is what we typically consider childhood. So the rest of the work occurs in romantic relationship because that's where our dependency reemerges. Childhood is about dependency. then we become totally independent until we become involved in some with somebody we're deeply in love with, and then dependency issues crop up again. So, you know, that's basically the background of what happens. Now, in terms of a typical session, you want to address that, Taya?
Sure. So Duane was really pointing to the theory behind Imago of how relationships, why we get connected in the first place. And then the practical part of Imago is that you learn a dialogical structure of a way of communicating so that you can really hear one another and provide safety in the relationship. And from that safety, you can really grow and experience heightened levels of passion.
Mm, absolutely. And that's one of the things I love so much about the whole therapy in general is like, you're facing your partner the whole time. You walk into the room and there's two chairs that are facing each other. And, you know, you guys are kind of sitting on the couch on the other side and you're looking at your partner the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
And no criticism is allowed, no shaming, blaming. We learn, those are habits that we learn in childhood. So we're kind of unlearning different ways of getting our needs met.
Absolutely. And one of the, another thing, I could literally list like a ton of things that I love about this therapy, but another is kind of the main goal is to never lose that connection, right? To always stay in and maintain that connection every single second of every single day. And that's not like in a creepy way, in a sense of following your partner around and knowing exactly what they're doing at all times, but to constantly and consciously be aware of where your partner is emotionally and be sensitive to their wounds and kind of where they need healing and how you can best serve them in those moments. So how do you kind of encourage couples to maintain that connection?
Well, ruptures in the connection are inevitable. And it's important that we aren't terrified of the ruptures, you know, because they will happen. And then the idea is then to learn and become very skilled around repairing. But the idea of a disconnection is an illusion because we're always connected. We're connected to the universe. You know this, Courtney, with
absolutely
physics and spirituality. There's no such thing as disconnection. So really to hold in your heart, no, we're connected, even if we're disagreeing, even if we're fighting, we're still connected. If the connection feels bad, it feels like a rupture. But if we don't give into that panic, then we're much more able to address the repair from our adult brain and not our panicky child brain.
And I find that a lot of times couples experience a lot of relief in knowing that they don't need to agree. They can have different points of view and still be connected. And I think that's really the beauty of learning to communicate and hold space for your partner and listening to their perspective, which is always going to be different than your perspective because you're two different people. And so you start learning to be able to tolerate those differences and honor them.
So true. And I think that was really hard for me. And the way that the kind of Imago, you know, in a session, like you're facing your partner, you're talking to them, and there's a specific dialogue that takes place where if you want to talk to your partner about something that went on, or maybe you got into an argument and you wanted to address that, there's a dialogue that happens where you schedule an appointment, making sure that both are able to be present and available. And then the first person says what they want to say, and the other person repeats it back word for word. And then you kind of go back and forth and you each get two rounds to kind of discuss and reply. And then you summarize this and you tell the person whether you agree with them or not, it makes perfect sense. You say that to them. And I think that's so hard for me because sometimes I look at my relationship with Mike and we get into these fights sometimes. And I'm just like, how can he think this way? It's so hard for me to look at him and say, this makes perfect sense.
Well, we confuse making sense with agreeing.
Okay. Yeah. See, go into this because this is something I'm still learning.
Well, I mean, it's even part of you know, the ancient art of war, that you have to understand your enemy's point of view, let alone your partner's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Because it better make sense, because if it doesn't, then you're going to be at a disadvantage. You have to think from there. So even if you totally disagree with their policies or what they're up to, it's important to make that in a way, it's a transcendent journey. You leave your point of view and visit another. It's a very anthropological or spiritual. You have to really go over to the other side and learn how the other thinks.
Yeah, and Dwayne, you said this in our session one time, and I think everybody needs to know this and approach relationships this way. I think this is brilliant. You said learning your partner is almost like going and visiting another country. You're learning a totally different language. You're learning a totally different culture, and kind of what you're used to in your country doesn't maybe fly in another country. And so you have to learn the language and you have to learn the culture and you have to understand it. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. But when you are crossing over into that other side, you have to respect it.
Yes,
exactly. And that it makes sense for them. The language that they speak and the rituals that they participate in make sense for them. So when your partner is sharing something, it's maybe you don't have to agree, but you're just saying, like, you make sense for you. I get that you make sense for you. And that also helps lower the anxiety when, you know, I think all of us, like, our brains run and we think, like, am I making sense here? Am I just speaking to a wall? Like, am I alone in this? And when your partner can say, you make sense, it really lessens the anxiety. And then when the anxiety lowers is when you can feel connection.
Right. Yes. And I've definitely felt that, you know. And I think that in a relationship, what everybody just wants to feel seen and heard, right? So to hear someone that you love and care about just be like, that makes perfect sense that instantly opens up for connection right there, just to feel seen and heard. But then there comes in a power play, right? In that moment where it's like, sometimes you say, okay, fine. Yes, that makes total sense. But you almost feel like the person's almost mocking you or making fun of you, or they don't really believe it. Like, where do you bridge the gap, you know, to where it's like, yeah, okay, I really don't, I'm telling you, I understand. It makes perfect sense for you. But that the person, like, you have to be okay with the fact that they really just might not agree with you. And for a prideful person like me, that's hard. How do you bridge that?
Right. Well, it just comes back to recognizing difference. Is difference scary? We're all basically, the root of all of our problems is xenophobia. Mm. We're terrified of the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the healing of the relationship is really a global healing in many ways, because as Taya mentioned, it's about tolerating that sense of disconnection. It's tolerating the difference.
Yeah.
And then you learn to embrace the difference, because it's that very difference that we're attracted to. My God, it's like, if we were the same, it would be so, not only would it just be a narcissistic image of ourselves, and we would be trapped in our own self. And the only way we escape from ourself is through, or enlarge ourself is through the encountering the other.
How true. I mean, I look at my relationship with Mike and I say, we are two very different people. You know, he is very rational and he is very analytical, and I am very emotional and just creative and head in the clouds, but he grounds me. And then I, you know, allow him to kind of maybe adventure a little bit more. I don't know, but it does. It's a really nice balance. And it's nice for me, you know. Hopefully it's nice for him.
You are his lost self and he is your lost self. And
oh, I love that.
And another part of it is embracing the part of ourself that we did push away, that we did deny, that we did shove out of our consciousness, that we did that was shamed out of us in many cases.
Ooh, and where does that come from? That's a really interesting point, because I don't really feel like I was, I don't know, I don't feel like I was ever shamed out of being rational, or, you know, I guess, but I was always pushed to be more creative, pushed to, you know, and enhance that side of myself. So I guess the logical kind of went out, and so I'm attracted to him. But in his sense, you know, I guess he grew up with pretty, you know, as a military father, and maybe thinking more creatively and everything wasn't, I don't know. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes. Well, there's two ways that we become wounded and lose our original parts of ourselves. One is through our family of origin, and the other is through socialization. Uh-huh. So, you know, and there's form and flow. He developed a more rigid, perhaps, pattern, having a military father, and you cultivated creativity. But, you know, one without the other is, you know, is either anemic or dangerous.
Out of balance, really.
Yeah, out of balance. So it's like to be whole. The quest is for wholeness.
Wow.
Right? Completeness.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to be complete, then you need your opposite.
Mm. For sure. And what about finding that within ourselves? You hear that a lot. You know, it's like, well, I don't need another person. I can find that wholeness within myself. And then people feel like if they need another person, that they feel lost.
It's nonsense. That's counterdependent. We're designed to connect deeply.
Mm.
Our brains are social brains.
We only survive in connection, you know, just from birth. And it's a myth that the whole idea of complete independence, that we are wired to be in relationship ultimately.
And is that just relationship with like a lover, or is this just relationship in general? Like,
oh, a primary other. We need a primary other to bond with.
A primary other to bond with. And this kind of goes into that whole thing of oneness. And I know it talks about this in the Imago manual as well. And maybe you can kind of talk about this. There's like a spiritual oneness. And then there's this, you know, the idea of duality kind of, right? I don't remember exactly what it said. I'm going to kind of let you go into that.
Well, psychologically, we're very different.
Yeah.
You know, but spiritually, I don't know. The oneness, I don't talk too much about oneness, you know, but the idea that we can have union is what's important. It's not the oneness that I find so fascinating as the union of the opposites. Mm. Jung calls it mysterium conjunctionis. It's whoa. that
bless you. Sounds like you sneezed.
You know, and part of our practice too is finding practices where you can experience that oneness through ecstatic pleasure, through connection, and the oneness that you can visit and experience and even hold in your heart is a oneness that connects us to the whole universe, to all, you know, the cosmos. But psychologically, we're very different. It's the work is really about tolerating the difference, not about tolerating the oneness. Unless we're terrified of being absorbed into oneness, you know, then we feel we're going to lose ourselves. If we become one, who do we become? Do we become you, or do we become me?
Absolutely, I feel that.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's very interesting.
Well, there are two fears. One is to be absorbed and one is to be abandoned. And so oneness can be very threatening by some people, whereas others can be very threatened by separateness.
Yes, absolutely. I think that I feel threatened by both. I mean, it's like I don't want to be alone, but I also I don't want to be absorbed at the same time. You know, I think.
And then those are prudent fears.
Elaborate on that. What do you mean?
Well, they're just basic human fears. You know, yeah. They're ancient fears. But you can't be absorbed by another. You know, well, and if you're codependent, you lose yourself. You certainly can, and you can be abandoned. But that's why developing a conscious, secure connection that makes our connection explicit, that makes the practice explicit, is so important.
That's why the dialogue is so helpful, is because you are able to share your truth and also be able to hear the other person's, and that, you know, being able to hold two perspectives as opposed to like, oh, well, my perspective is right, only right. And when you're on your own as an individual, when you're alone as an individual, to say this, is that you're only getting input from yourself, but in partnership, you're getting the other perspective, and it is going to be triggering sometimes, but then you're going to be looking at other parts of yourself that you might not be forced to encounter. You might be like just going along in your life, and you're only getting your own perspective, but in relationship, you're forced to bring in another perspective. And within the Imago context, it's really about how you grow and evolve and
expand into those things.
Exactly. And then these other parts that you're not able to see in yourself, those are those parts of you grow and expand, and vice versa with your partner, and you stretch.
Gosh, how true is that? I love that concept so much, because how often, like, are we single? Like, I was single for a long time before I dated Mike.
Easy, right? And that's just
easy. And I'm like, wow, like I am proud of myself. Like, I am so good at being on my own and I know myself, blah, blah, blah. And then you get into a relationship with someone and then you're like, oh no, like there's all these things that are coming up. I'm like, wow, there's all this stuff that I haven't healed and that I could not have done on my own because I didn't have the mirror, you know? So I think you're totally spot on with that. I think that's an amazing point. In your opinion, what is the foundation of a great relationship?
For me, I love the growth aspect. I love the journey. I love being, for me personally, but I love, and you know, as an Imago therapist working with couples, I love to facilitate that growth. I think it's so exciting. Just to go beyond what people thought was individually capable for themselves and for the relationship. And it's through love, you know, it's growth through love. And so that's what really excites me. That's what turns me on.
Yeah, that turns me on too. I love that. And, well, and it all goes back to that dialogue, like you said. Sorry, Dwayne, you were going to say something.
Well, just that the hallmarks of a great relationship are first of all, zero negativity, elimination of things that you know will hurt people. Yesterday, Taya was talking about a topic in business, and she afterwards said, "I'm so grateful that you were supportive of that conversation and weren't shaming me or criticizing me." And I said, no, there's nothing to, no need. So it's like just knowing that you can totally trust your partner, like even if you crash the car, they're not going to make you feel bad.
Right.
Because you're already beating yourself up. So that first level of just knowing your partner is on your side, that they're not going to criticize you, that they know where your sensitivities are and they're going to protect those.
They're on the same team.
You're on the same team. Yeah. And that is the first step. The second is enhancing the positive, making, you know, when your partner is excited, you share the excitement with them to expand that excitement even more.
Wow.
Then recognizing that you're different. You're living with another person, somebody who is not you, which is going to be at best frustrating, at worst terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And that the fourth one is that you become your partner's advocate. You become their champion.
I love that. Yeah, I love all those things. And I know that you're big in Imago Therapy about doing appreciations every day.
That's a practice of just enhancing the positive. Giving your partner little zingers of pleasure.
Yeah, because when you have that every day and you hear that from someone every day, there's really no room for a lot of negative. And it really does like keep you in that connection of saying, like, even if something negative does come up, we have so much of this positive cushion to kind of relax on that, you know, the negative is not going to go so negative, you know? And I think that that's really important. But even though the negative might not go so negative, there are going to be negative things that come up in a relationship.
Yes. And because the brain goes negative, the deep brain's default setting is for the negative. That's why we're at the top of the food chain as human beings. So that's why we have to consciously, intentionally, on purpose, pump in positive infusions to our relationship, because given its own resting state, the brain's just going to go negative.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how do you address it? If something negative comes up in the relationship, or if there's something that's happening right in the moment, what do you tell people to do in that moment?
Take a breath. I think, you know, one is to kind of center yourself. I think that is really important. Of course, like, we have our adaptations, our knee-jerk reactions, but those are usually in our fight or flight. So, yep. You know, you were talking about consciousness. That's where the consciousness part comes in, is resisting that it's over, even before we even think about it, but like learning to realize, like, okay, we have a chance here to change a pattern. And, you know, taking a breath, and then take in that breath, kind of giving your partner the benefit of the doubt, thinking like, I've chosen this person loves me. So that you don't immediately go to the negative, which is like, this person hates me and wants me dead.
Yes.
And like
looking at them as an enemy immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. And going down this rabbit hole of like, why are they trying to destroy my life? but realizing that when you're not in fight or flight, when you're not triggered, that you did make this conscious decision to be this with this person and to facilitate this relationship. I remember very early on when I was becoming more acquainted with Imago, and I went to the refrigerator, and there was like, Dwayne and I were living together, and there was only like a teeny bit of orange juice left. And I was enraged. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he took all the orange juice. He's so inconsiderate. And like, he's doing this on purpose to ruin, you know, like to show that he's better than me or whatever. And I started applying more of sort of the Imago theory. And I was I realized I took that breath and I kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt. And I was like, no, he asked me to live with him and be, why would he be taking orange juice from me?
That's so good that you can do that in the moment. Gosh, Dwayne, I can't believe you would take the orange juice.
And then I realized I kind of took it back to my childhood. I was like, well, what does this remind me of my childhood? And I realized like, oh yeah, I had sisters and parents and we were always like, there wasn't, you know, we were competing for resources.
Wow.
That feeling came up. So that it's sort of, that's sort of the power of the work that can offer. And then it wasn't about the orange juice anymore. And I was able to sort of heal that and let that go. And it's just been, even that we've been together now 14 years and we're still able to deepen that kind of work and learn and love and grow with one another with these tools. And it's still so fascinating and liberating.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned that about your past, because there's a quote in your therapy manual and it says, an intimate relationship offers us the best chance to wake up out of the past and live fully in the present so that we can attend to what is current and creative. And I think that is such a cool quote. And I want you guys to kind of expand on that, because one thing that really rang true to me in our sessions was that, as you guys said, 90% of relationship problems aren't actually about your partner, but about the past, what happened before your partner. So, you know, whether that's things that happened with your parents or experiences growing up. And I thought that was fascinating. I'd love for you to kind of like expound upon that.
Well, going back also, including what you said earlier, how do you handle the negative? And the short answer is you tell the truth. Now, the truth is not you're an asshole for drinking my orange juice. That's not true. That's an adaptation. That is the past. That's a trance state of your past coming forward. The truth is that you're disappointed.
Yeah.
The truth is that you're hurt. So getting in touch with how you really feel, not your reaction, is really important. Mm-hmm. And so then when you can go into how you're actually feeling and what you actually need, you can ask your partner to adjust their behavior to take you into consideration. And that's the beginning of creative cooperation. That's the beginning of being able to really have an impact on your relationship. So many people think that marriage and relationship it's like found art. It's like you get what you're stuck with what you find, but it's an empty canvas. It's a blank slate that you can grow and develop together. So every time that you're able to say the truth vulnerably about what's going on with you and get your partner to understand what's going on and get them to adjust, you're making something new, and that's creativity at its very root.
Wow, now, yeah.
Now, building creative objects together or enterprises just go from there, but just being able to design as we're flying this relationship is the most creative thing I think you can do.
For sure. And a lot of that comes with that self-awareness. You have to be aware of really what's going on. And I think that's sometimes a really, really hard part, because how often do I get upset, you know, with Mike about something? And I'm like, gosh, I don't really even know why I'm upset about this. Or like where this is coming from. And kind of like you said, Taylor, you went back, you're like, wow, like I remember kind of having to fight over resources. Some of us, like, we can't go back that quickly and know exactly where it's coming from or be able to address it in that moment. All we know is that we are angry and upset, you know? So like, how do you become more conscious about the wounds in ourselves that need healing? And then how do we become conscious about that where our partner needs healing? If we can't even figure that out sometimes within ourselves, like how do we know that within our partner as well?
Well, Taya opened the introduction to that process, which is simply breathing. Mm-hmm. Because the first thing that happens when we go into our warrior brain is that we shut down the oxygen, even like 2% into the upper regions of the brain, and we can't think clearly. The communication ambassadors part of the brain is totally locked down, and we're ready for war. That's the first thing that has to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we have to, you can't recognize anything that's going on really unless you're not, unless you trick the brain to think that everything is okay, that you're safe. You have to assume, mm-hmm. you come back to that safe place. Look, I'm safe. This is just symbolic. But then the curiosity about your own past and the curiosity about your partner's past takes time, and it takes just getting to know both of your histories, because we're built on our history, and we're slaves to our history until we really, really understand the currents that are pulling us.
So true. I love that you said slaves to our history, because we do. We are bound to our experience and what we know, right? So obviously these things are going to be our reality. And so I think coming to realize that, like, wow, there's actually more to what my experience is that could be true is really important. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that was really powerful in our sessions that we did that kind of helped Mike and I understand each other's childhood wounds is you had us stare at each other, or no, actually I closed my eyes for my part of it. And I imagined my childhood home, and I imagined my mother or my father, whichever one we were doing that day. And I spoke to my mother from my childhood self, and you asked me to answer a bunch of questions. Like, what was the most frustrating thing that I felt towards my mother growing up or my father? And I was saying these things out loud, but Mike was responding to those. He was repeating what I was saying, and he was responding back to me as my mom would, and kind of helping me through and healing those wounds. But also from him, he was kind of getting the perspective of, like, if he was my mother or my father and I was talking to him, he knows how it feels because I'm saying it to him. Yes. And I thought that was really, really powerful, because so many times I get mad at Mike for something, and like you said in the manual, 90% has nothing to do with him. Mm-hmm. 10% of it does, because he made me mad, right? Something triggered it. Right. But the rest of it is from what happened when I'm little girl talking to my mom.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So again, that's why, I mean, a lot of these things can be worked through in different ways, but with the dialogue, it's another way of becoming present, so that you can start detaching from that other 10% and just become in the moment with you and your partner. And it becomes a mindfulness practice between two people to really be able to mirror back and to give your presence and be totally there. You have to be 100% present. And then it's also good to know how the brain works, that we, you know, I was talking about fight or flight earlier, and that's part of our limbic brain, and that holds all of our memories, so that when you are triggered by something, like for instance, with me with the orange juice, and I get flooded with emotion, everything comes online at any time that I felt like I had to compete for resources, or there wasn't enough, or I felt pain or disappointment.
Yeah.
So the brain really is processing all of those moments when you're working from that limbic part of your brain. And that's when you can take a breath and become present and be like, okay, wait, all of that 90% isn't happening now. What's just happening now is that there's just a little bit of orange juice left in the refrigerator. Wow. I'm going to be okay. There is enough for me. There's, you know, like milk right next to it. There's water filter, you know? And so, but when we're triggered, we get that tunnel vision. And so then it is important to become more present, either through the breath or within Imago session and you're mirroring back, or just being able to take in your environment more so that you can dislodge yourself from the 90% from the past that might be that trigger.
And how healing that is on so many levels to just be able to stop yourself and just say, like, this is what this is. I'm reverting and just changing your behavior within yourself. Right. You know what I mean? Even though you're changing it with your partner, you're changing it with yourself, because you're like, oh, this triggers me in this way. And I respond with anger, blah, blah, blah. And you're stopping in the moment and being like, wow, this is all old patterns. I'm stopping my response. This is how I always respond. I'm not going to respond this way anymore. Like, that's beautiful.
And then you'll get different results.
Yeah, absolutely.
What will help you not go into that trigger in the future is your partner's response. So when Mike learns about your childhood, that develops a very specialized form of empathy for you. So now he has inside information. He knows what to do and what not to do to trigger you. And so with that info, so even though he's not responsible for that 90% of injury that came before him, he is now responsible for healing it.
Wow. Because he knows how to respond.
He's off the hook, we put him back on the hook because he didn't cause it, but now it's his job to heal it. So,
well, he's aware of it now.
Now that he's aware of it comes responsibility. And with that responsibility is, now I know, in Taya's case, to protect that orange juice with my life. Then what happens is she doesn't need it anymore.
Right.
Now just our daughter drinks orange juice.
So there's a whole new problem. There's a whole new part of the triangle.
Now we can catch her orange juice.
I love it. I love it so much. I think that's just such a beautiful concept. And I'm curious to know, like, are all of our unmet needs or things that we kind of desire in our relationship based off our, you know, relationship with our attachment styles, like, are they all based off of our attachment styles? Are all of our unmet needs or things that we desire in a relationship based off of our relationship with our attachment styles growing up? Does that make sense?
So what you're saying is, are all of our unmet needs in our relationship based from, stem from our past?
Yes. Yes.
Well, the important ones are because if we have our needs met, they're not that important to us. We're not going to fight for things that we already have. Like, if you've gotten plenty of validation in a certain area, you're not going to go to the mat about that with your partner. You're going to feel pretty generous around that area.
Right, right, right.
So the things that are super important to us that we fight for are those unmet needs from the past. And once our partner shows a total willingness to give us those, then that's not an unmet need anymore. And it's not important. It becomes less relevant.
Yeah. And a great example of that, I think, is, you know, something that, you know, Mike and I work on a lot is words of affirmation and giving each other, you know, words of affirmation. I'm one of those people that needs that probably more than he does, you know? And so one of the gifts that he gives me that you kind of inspired us to do through therapy is, you know, every day he wakes up and he tells me, gives me some kind of word or whatever. And it fills me up so much in a way that I don't feel like I need the words as often as I used to, you know? It just, I feel complete in that, in a way. So I love that.
Yeah, you will always need it, but there will be less desperation or less angst around not getting it.
Absolutely. And it's beautiful to be able to know that about your partner and exactly what they need to be able to really, like you said in our session one time, give them the experience of love.
Yeah.
You love your partner so much that you want to give them like this overwhelmingly amazing experience of love based off of exactly what they need.
Right. But it has to be customized according to their needs, not yours.
Ooh, explain that.
Well, you give them your version of love and they're going to go, huh?
Right. If I gave my version of love to Mike, that might not work for him.
Right. He'd probably throw up.
It would be too much. He would be suffocated. Right. But knowing, customizing it to knowing his wounds and his needs, mm-hmm. and just then just
right. yes.
giving him that so much.
You're actually healing yourself too by you stretching and giving him the what he needs instead of just what is intuitive to you and what you need and what you would like in terms of love and how you would respond in love, by you like literally kind of growing another arm to give him what he needs and the way he can receive it, you're learning a new way of being, which will ultimately make you more whole.
Yes, because he's going to be more of the rational side of things, more of the doing, like he likes kind of acts of service type things, which I'm more words of affirmation. So that's going to be pushing me to be doing more, giving him acts of service, which might be a little bit more uncomfortable for me.
Exactly.
But that's what makes him feel comfortable. That's how he receives love. So that's stretching me to go be, I love that. I think that's incredible.
Yeah. Then eventually you'll find that you change places. You trade places. Whereas he'll begin wanting the words of affirmation more, and you'll begin desiring service more, because we really deeply influence each other. You know, as you're awakening his dormant needs, and he's awakening your dormant needs too around growth.
Wow. I think that's so beautiful. I love it so much. And really quick, like what we've been talking about all these things. And I think all of these things provide a lot of safety in a relationship, but we're all looking for that, right? That safety. But what allows someone to truly feel that safety in a relationship?
I think what you said earlier about being seen and heard really helps create that safety. And I think that's why this imago dialogical structure works so well, because mm-hmm. as you pointed out, and so beautifully illustrated the experience, it's like looking in eye to eye with your partner, and it's your partner's mirroring back your words and bringing their presence. And I think everyone that you know, as a child, that's what, you know, going back to infancy, that's what we need to feel safe.
You just want that love, that acceptance of exactly where you're at. But I think in a lot of relationships, people feel afraid of their partner sometimes because they're not doing the dialogue. There is a lot of ego involved. We're not seeing each other we're only seeing each other through our filters. And so I think that sometimes we're afraid to confront our partner in difficult times because we don't feel safe. So I think that goal of creating that safe space through some of those dialogues where you might not agree with somebody, but you can understand them, is probably the most important part, making someone feel seen and heard.
Yes. And when an important part of feeling safe is the no exit decision, that you can stand up and your partner isn't going to say, okay, I'm done.
Right. Right. Obviously, unless someone's being harmed or hurt or whatever.
Right. So, right. Yeah,
but knowing, going into with your partner and saying, I'm in this, I'm not leaving, I'm committed to healing your wounds and yeah. knowing and understanding your wounds and helping you to heal them.
Yes.
Gosh, that makes me feel super safe and super loved on like another level. Just very known, I guess, you know, and that's just being seen and heard. Because I feel like a lot of marriages these days kind of end in divorce. There's a lot of that happening these days. And I think it's because a lot of people, they're just unhappy, right? And a lot of that unhappiness is probably coming from not feeling seen, not being heard, not giving each other the time and attention. Would you say that's a big reason?
Think people don't know that there's things that they can do for their relationship. And there was, they did a study that, you know, if you have something wrong with your heart, you immediately go to the doctor. But when right. your relationship or you're feeling pain in your relationship, you wait 6 years to call a marriage therapist.
That's and a that great might point.
Be that's too late, you know, that's yeah. 6 years where there's been damage. So I think if people learn that you can get help early and that there's things that you can do, I mean, the fact that, you know, what you were sharing from your experience with Mike is so positive and having us speak today, it just really informs couples that it's not, you know, Dwayne had said earlier that people think marriages is like found art, like, it is what it is. And if it's yep. not working, then it's broke and I got to do something else. And it's the reverse. It's like when things get off track, that's when you can really grow and heal. And because of course it's going to get off track. There's no doubt that it's going to get off track.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was going to say that, you know, like you, one of the first things you guys talked about was that relationships, you're going to be with your worst nightmare in a lot of ways. You're going to be mirroring things back and forth that are going to look really, really ugly, and things are going to go off the rails. And that is inevitable. But I think really kind of making it safe proof, you know what I mean? Where with the dialogue, being seen and being heard and creating the safe space, you're kind of foolproofing your marriage in a sense.
Exactly. Yes.
This has been seriously such an amazing time with you guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you guys, how would they do that?
Through our website, Harvey Center for Relationship. Harvey Center for Relationships.
Harvey Center for Relationships.com. They can schedule an appointment, connect with you guys there. Thank you so much. So awesome. And be sure to check them out, you guys, especially if you're looking for a way to really connect in the deepest possible way with your partner. This is truly it. Imago Therapy. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget that the Love Freak podcast is now available on Spotify. So go stream away. And if you're loving the podcast and you want to dive deeper into the inner work each week, you can do so by subscribing to my Patreon account, where there's a weekly journal prompt and other exclusive content to encourage you on your journey. Easy for me to say. I hope you guys are staying safe and healthy out there. And we will see you next week on the Love Freak podcast.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.